Heavy Rotz and Mitzukala, we have a little bit of understanding. We got something I'm not understanding over there. And now we're going to Spareyach Min. Are there a question?
Yes.
People have problems, aren't raising their hands.
I was waiting for this the whole week. What's the problem of seeing
If you understand these two points,
then they'll have no problem. Okay, so what's holding back on this point?
So that you're saying that it works, and there's no problem.
I had some success.
So it's too early.
Yeah, it's only a week.
Okay, you have to know. So maybe we'll get there now. Let's see if we can get to it. You have to understand that there are two ways that things look. There are two realities. We'll call it that way. In the simple reality, the way things should be, and the way things they really are, if things would be the way they should be, then of course it's going to work. There's no way it shouldn't work. Is anybody going to have to explain to a child that he likes ice cream? There's no such thing. If they explain to an adult that he likes a $100 bill, there's no such thing. Some likes it more, some like it less, but they all like it. There's no such thing. And if it's taka good, so why not? Of course it works. It's simple that it works. So according to the real reality, and whenever we can attain to live according to real reality, something will work, simply. And it's not really so hard to live in real reality for the simple reason that it's real. If you're real, you live in real. It's not something you have to get to the moon. It's right there. It's here. All it is that you have to live in reality. That's all. You don't have to go to the moon. You don't have to turn into a zebra. You don't have to grow horns. All you have to do is be real. So that here it is. Take it. No problem. That's one reality. There's another reality. The other reality, it seems in this shoe, is not so familiar, but a lot of people are very familiar with the other reality. There's another reality. The other reality, we had the same thing in the last Mishnah. We had two realities, right? We had it, pretty through. We had the regular reality of how Usher works and how Gibel works and how Chochem works.
So after we mastered that Mishnah,
so can you
hear this?
People are so clean that there's no shaykhus anymore to that reality.
No, we all left Olam Hazeh.
That's it. Left Olam Hazeh.
Well, I mean, for its
how are you going to get
purpose,
to Olam Haba?
No, for its own basis.
Ah, you left
it. We don't need it.
You finally made it to Olam Hazeh. Welcome to Olam Hazeh.
Hey, that's the one taking that with me.
You made it to Olam Hazeh. You left Olam Dinyan. Oh, it's funny. I say, I'm still in Olam Dinyan. But okay, so that's part of Olam Dinyan that I can play. Cholifin, there's another world.
Yeah.
A lot of people run around that world. That giant. They come in all shapes, wear all kinds of different hats, wear different types of shoes. But there's a lot of them in all different flavors, and they have a different reality. And that reality, mitzvahs are good? Yeah. No question. You ask, are mitzvahs good? Yeah. Do you like mitzvahs? Yeah. Okay. Going to put on tefillin? Yeah. Ruts? Your ruts getting in and your ruts getting out. Go to the shul and look how people come in, look how people go out. And you'll see if the ruts is the mitzvah or mir mitzvah.
Yeah,
they
usually come in about 20 minutes later. Come in fast.
That's a heck of a tempter to go out, though.
That's the other ruts. That was the other ruts. That's what we're not talking about.
Was that what's again?
That's the running the race, Russ. Rat race.
Oh.
Right. Only rats race that rut. Yeah, it's a rat race. You're running because of a tying problem. But here you're running because of an interest. You can't fake it, it is what you don't. The answer is that the simple reality of the value of mitzvahs don't necessarily at all have to live in our hearts. And if they don't, you're not going to run. Now, what's the reason why in economy during the first approach there usually isn't problems? Because there's a process, one of the proper processes, how to bring things into your heart, is through the mind. When a person makes a special effort because some fellow got up and said, in this year we're going to do this homework and we do it, and we do it, right? So right now we're on special. We're in special mode. We're on doing this process mode. Right? And paid attention. What am I doing? I'm putting on tefillin. Do I like tefillin? I don't like tefillin. What's with tefillin? I have to do tefillin, or I want to do tefillin. So by paying attention very clearly, because the truth of the matter is, we do like tefillin. And we do value tefillin. Another thing that we think about it, and paid attention to it, and hey, it's feeling. Ruts, no problem. But you made it a week?
That's not what we're talking about.
Why?
That's not what we did with this week.
That's what you did.
But it's just, that's just the pressure of having your machshava being sholot over yourself. It's not. Oh, no?
Right. At the time that the mind thinks, and the heart is being activated by the mind. Right? So even if we're going to assume, based on past experience, that without paying this intention, the mind doesn't have any reach of its villain. The brain, the lave doesn't have any reach of its villain. But when the brain is in active mode and sending down, hey lave, what do you say about villain? What's with tefillin? What do you have to say about that? Right? And tefillin is a shrechel, the toivloch, the gomazel, and book, and radio, and the kedushin. What do you say about that, heart? So the lay said, that's good stuff. That's how I like that. I want that. Right? So you activate the heart, and you go. So that there's no problem.
So the heart being activated.
Yeah.
As opposed to.
But, Dale's going to be here next week. Except for people, certain individuals that are, they have no breaks between the brain and heart. There's no oral. There are people like that. There's no oral salate. They're already mal oral salate. So then they don't have these problems. But other people, there are such people. I know some personal. Very, very close relatives. They have this thick, ugly, black, greasy covering on the heart. It doesn't let things get in so easily. And even though the brain has certain connections that goes through this black covering,
it's just cholesterol.
Yeah. Even though there is, the brain has certain, but that's when it's in active mode. But if the brain isn't thinking about it, paying special attention about it, and the heart's just left a little on its regular form, then you ask the heart about tefillin, and the heart says, about what? Tefillin. So what are they? This is the thing, we're just in shul, and we were with. What did we do there? I wasn't there. I don't know where you were, but I wasn't there. I wasn't doing anything. I was wrapped up in other things. I didn't totally. If you say I was in school, I won't argue with you, but nothing to do with me. And the heart says that. Well, the heart was somewhere. The heart is always somewhere. Then the heart was running to wherever the heart is. And if it wasn't in school, then it was somewhere else, in the business, and whatever, in the glida, wherever it was. Then that doesn't work. So then you have a little conversation in the heart. You say, Mr. Heart, 1 second. What do you mean you didn't go to shul? What kind of Jew are you? You don't go to shul in the morning? course it goes through. So don't you know what Tefillin is? Tefillin? Oh, Tefillin. Yeah, I know what Tefillin is. We were just in Tefillin. Why didn't you tell me about it? I didn't know. I was in the Congo, and it's in the paper. For some people to get hachana for tefillah in the morning, so just on the way to shul, take out the paper and read just the headlines, so then... Just the headlines, so that the heart should be full of tefillah to solve all the world's problems or something. The heart in the headlines. What? It's not that it wasn't Rutz. It just wasn't involved. This reality of being able to exist, do, active. Person can do major, major processes. It can take years of effort. Involvement. The heart wasn't there. How many hours of a person's life do we daven, say brachos, tefillos, do mitzvahs? Mitzvahs includes sponja. Okay. That's, you know, where was the heart during all that? In the Congo. In the paper. I know. Sometimes, right, the apostle says, "Ani yishen v'libi er." That's a good state already. There are some people that "Ani er v'libi yishen." That's a bad state.
Yeah, where is the heart in
Congo?
Reading it, you know, your heart's not there. What was on the film? It's really not.
It's happening. So in the bourse, each person would talk to them. The Congo, I mean,
everybody has their heart someplace.
What?
You're taking as much as everybody has their heart someplace.
That's what I'm saying, that there's either somewhere, or there's Yoshin.
Yoshin. Someplace is a darga over there.
Yeah, it's a darga, it's not a darga, but it's
Yoshin.
I know it's it's two different points. I don't know what, there's an Avela, it's a chafe, I don't know which one's but. I don't know, each one has an advantage and disadvantage. It's like a person who, instead of being Stam Chiloni, is a very, very religious Christian, which is better. He's not into, religion, like really strong. He's just got one little mistake, he's into Buddhism or something, which is worse. I don't know, I'm not asking these questions, how's she supposed to know? But each one has an advantage and a disadvantage. One is probably a better state right now, but hard to get out of. I don't know which one is worse. But the Choloifin. Right? But the Choloifin. I want to broaden the understanding of the Mishnah, the Heavy Rots and Mitzvah. Mitzvah Shisharim explains. Nice, it's a Posek.
What? Mitzvah Shisharim explains that everybody sits like this, doesn't want to get off his chair. Remember when we're learning Mishnah Shisharim, he says basically a person's tether is to...
Not the move. So Shisharim explains that if a person won't run after mitzvahs, he won't get them. It takes very, very seriously this mission. So if you're not going to have zrizus, you're going to be left without anything. You can be left naked. Zero. Right? Nothing. Okay?
That hurts.
That means your heart's not there.
Oh, you're not there.
That was the question that we asked last week. What do you mean? I'm going to put on tefillin regardless. I got to lift with nothing. Right? Put on automatic pilot, I'm going to put on tefillin in the morning.
Well, that you get reward in this world.
You'll get the reward.
This world, though.
You make it world and know you'll have it also. That's not mitzvahs. That's not enough. That's not what the Torah is talking about. The Rebbe Shalom gives reward for everything. When dogs don't bark, when they're not supposed to, they get reward. But that wasn't what the world was created for. Reward? Yeah, there's plenty of reward around. You'll get whatever good you do on whatever level you do exactly to the penny with Hatzmada and Ribbis you're going to get. Don't worry about it. The Foundation pays everybody for everything on every level, and right now we're trying to look at the other half of it, but don't ever make the mistake of thinking that something on the low level is worthless. That's not true. Even something on a low level, the lowest level, mitzvahs and notion, milu modu mamish, right? It's simple. It's get up in the morning, run to shul, okay, read the paper, the tefillin, take off the tefillin before Ashrei, after Ashrei, get up, out the door, eh? Did he yaitze? Wasn't he yaitze? Eh? Was he yaitze? Wasn't he yaitze? Right? If there was the minimum involvement, of kavana, the same mitzvah that comes kemat bechreach with the bracha. If you knew he said the bracha, if he said the bracha with all the words, doesn't help. You have to say all the words. Okay, but is it possible? Yes. Do most people do it? Yes. Are you going to get scarred for that? Yes. Is that what the Bnei Shimon wants? No. That's not what he created the world for. That's not what he brought us down to the world for. And that's not what he gave us such a big neshama. He didn't make us just a little old nothings. Mm-hmm. You know, probably you can create, you know, just a very... Yeah, you can probably chain a monkey to put on tefillin, excuse me. Not for that he created the human. Okay, he made all Adam. Not for that he made Klal Yisrael. Not for that he gave us an chelik of the kamimal that we should do this. It'll give us scar. Yes. Is it? Yes. Is it better than nothing? Yes. Right. Is it extremely important? Yeah, everything. Right. But is it what the Rabbanim Yisraelim wants? No. That's what we have to know. Right. That's not what he had in mind when he made Klal Yisrael. It's not what he meant when he gave Torah, and it's not what he meant when he gave Mitzvahs.
If he's so friendly.
What?
In Jesus,
he says that. He says, you're going to be left without Mitzvahs. What? We're going to have to get into a little bit, especially as we go down the Mishnah. Still understanding what it means, mitzvah. Right? Mitzvahs, by what a real mitzvah means, the real thing, mitzvah, right, is not a religious act. That you did it, you did tekes tefillin, and you get a check mark. Right? And because you get a check mark, the Bnei Shalom owes you one. That's called schar. That's not what it's all about. That's from religions. We're going to have to learn. It's a little bit difficult subject, but that is the subject of the mitzvah. To understand that a mitzvah is more than that. A mitzvah is a whole different world. It's a whole different involvement. A mitzvah is the mokoyim where Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba live together. We had two Olam Hazehs that we talked about last time. You can do mitzvahs in the little Olam Hazeh also. And you'll get little Olam, so you're going to get schar for those mitzvahs also. But that's not the mitzvahs that we should want. That's religious acts. That's mitzvahs, tzivuim, you're going to get schar. Everything is tov yafeh. But that's not what the Rebbeinu had in mind. Have you wrote the mitzvah? So a broader definition now that we're going to have than we had last week is that have you wrote the mitzvah means that in order for you to live in the world of reality, where real mitzvahs take place, you have to be involved with that mitzvah. You have to be living the mitzvah. You have to be connected somewhat to that mitzvah. You have to have belief involved in that mitzvah. And then, vadai, the natural things, you're going to be rotz the mitzvah. Okay. To the point that heavy rotz the mitzvah, as himself the Sharon says, is that it's not an added, that's the only way you're going to get mitzvahs. And the Maisa, he brings it from Chazal, Shemartim es HaMatzos, Shemartim es HaMitzvos. The idea of Zrizus that we learn in the way you have to watch Chometz, it shouldn't turn Chometz to make a Matzah, that's the way you have to do Mitzvos. Mitzvah Shebol Yotcha Al Tach Mitzvah. Going around. You have to get involved. You have to, a responsibility we do tomorrow. We do a responsibility when we have to do it. Right? Picking up a reward, picking up a value, picking up something that's good, we do it the earliest possible moment. The rots, it's not only a, it's not a question of who's faster, the mitzvah, you and you're having your rat race. Right? The question is, if you are rots, then you have mitzvahs right there. And if you're not rots, you don't have mitzvahs. You're not connected. You have religious acts. You have mitzvahs in the borrowed sense of the word, in the broader sense of the word. You'll get scarfed, right? Everything tov yifeh. Although that's not what we have in mind. So having rots, the mitzvah kala is, because that's the only way you can do mitzvahs in this world. Olam hazeh, in its simpler reality, the way that through this world looks before Torah comes and clarifies what this world is all about. So mitzvahs are a foreign implant. There's olam hazeh, which means business, money, pleasures, building, doing, whatever. And mitzvahs is like, this is something that really relates to somewhere else, which is true, I'm sorry, olam hazeh. Just like this religious implant that we were enforced into our olam hazeh behavior, doing something else.
Yes.
So that's a non-natural connection. It won't work. And that olam hazeh of the Ezu who sameach b'chalko osher, right? That world. And that world mitzvahs are a little bit of a seer. They're a problem. Mitzvahs are a problem. There are people that are Americans who are trying to be Shomer Shabbos, which means that basically they are a businessman, a lawyer, an American, a member of this club and that club, and they want to be Shomer Shabbos. Right? So now they have a problem. How do you put Shomer Shabbos into this lifestyle? Kashrus, you know. Kashrus sometimes become a problem with business associates, sometimes goyim or other type of yidden, and there's a problem with kashrus, and then there's a question, you could go into the restaurant and eat vegetables, or you can't go in there, but it's a problem, because there's a lifestyle that's this way, and then mitzvahs are this way, and we have a problem because there's a conflict between the two. Olam hazeh and the mitzvahs don't get along very well, they're not friends, it's a foreign implant. Okay. Something that doesn't belong doesn't stay around. Right? It doesn't last. Right? In that situation, if you're going to run fast, it's also not going to help. That's a situation where you're not in a mitzvah situation. You're not in a mitzvah situation. That's not a mitzvah situation. That's not a mitzvah life. You're not in the wrong, you're in the wrong world. You're in the wrong attitude, wrong approach. You're just not with it. If mitzvah starts off as a problem, however you're going to solve it, but that's not it. I feel if your solutions will be al pidin. Usually a person who has an attitude towards mitzvah says, oh, now I have this problem, now I have that problem, how are we going to deal with this? Usually ends up having to start cutting corners and making certain pshoras because it just really doesn't work so good. But in the other olam hazeh, the olam hazeh that we've been talking about for weeks, which if we can talk about it for the rest of our lives, it won't be too much. That there's an olam hazeh, that the essence of olam hazeh is the opportunity in million forms to produce olam haba. That's what olam hazeh is. And the business is part of it, and the social arrangements are part of it, and everything, life, all aspects of life is part of a major process, a major machinery that takes and produces olam haba. And the engine, the main activity, the main driving force that enables Pepsi Cola to turn into olam haba is mitzvahs. How do you get into that world? So the Mishnah tells you, the Mishnah tells us the way you do that is you have to run there. You can't walk there. You won't get there walking. It's not somewhere else. You don't have to get there fast. It's not a time problem. It's an attitude problem. You can choose at any moment which Olam Hazeh you want to live in. In both Olam Hazehs, you have the physicality of Olam Hazeh, the involvement of Olam Hazeh, and you have religious mitzvahs. But in one, there's a steer between the two. And the involvement is not going to be one of rots. It's going to be one of doing mitzvahs because you have to, because you decided that it's, you got to do this. And in the Olam, Olam Hazeh, so then the main interest, the focal point, the interest is how do I produce Olam Haba? So the mitzvah is the main thing that I'm interested in. Like the Mitzvah Shorim comes and he gives us, knocks us over a head, you know, solidly, straight between the eyes, and tells you, you got to know what is it that you want out of life. Before you start, what do you want? What do you want? Do you know? What are you doing? This is a very weird thing to get up in the morning to eat and put food in and money out. This whole thing called life, why are you doing this? So the answer is because I was born. Okay, not true. Right. You know, so maybe jump off a roof. So you're not allowed to jump off a roof. That's the only reason. Never. Never. You know. Never the only person is living through life and everything is only because really Lushitosa he should jump off a roof, but he was told that he's not allowed to do that either. Azeda Fuk. He's living in a world of Akzoris. Everything is black, everything is meaningless, everything is worthless. And there's a lot of frustration and emptiness that has to be filled. It has to be covered over because it's painful and unpleasant. And the world has all kinds of pleasures to use to smear over all of this blackness and to implant a feeling of momentarily good to get you out of all of this black. But it doesn't work. So you have to take some more. That doesn't work either, so you take some more. And this is the rat race. And go on. This is Kina Taiva Vakov, Masinus Olam and Olam, Enolam Esu Hatzidos of Olam. It's an unending process of trying to empty, fill in the empty black hole, or whatever you put in. Doesn't help. Nothing going on. That's one Olam Hazeh. That's a pitiful Olam Hazeh. That's one reality. And then mitzvahs are something that you have to do. They're a religious responsibility, and you're a good Jew, and you do your religious responsibilities. Motik, you're going to get a check. You're going to get schar. You're going to get everything. That's not it. That's not it. That's not what the Russian wants. He's not such an achsa. The Bani is not just an achsa to make such a difficult world, an ugly world, a painful world, full of frustration, full of difficulties, and tircha, and everything for what? But there's a different Olam Hazeh. There's Olam Hazeh, which is a praise to Olam Haba. Ah, that's a different, that's Olam Hazeh, it's a shechel v'toivach, a shechel v'olam hazeh v'toivach v'olam haba. In that world, the mainstay, the middle road, tension span, the thing that is of greatest value, the thing that gives the greatest simcha, the thing that gives the greatest interest, the thing that has the highest rot's value that exists in the world is mitzvahs. Because mitzvahs is the essence of that defines that Olam Hazeh is a praise to. So a mitzvah. Mitzvah. Rot's the mitzvah. We both live. What? Praise door is somewhere that leads to somewhere else, right? The hallway into the house, right? So if it can be a world on its own, not going anywhere, and then it doesn't go anywhere. Right? Or it's the hallway that goes into the house. It has to be connected. What's the connection is there? So in your hallway is connected because the Kabbalah put it there. Right? But Olam Hazeh doesn't have to necessarily be connected. You can pretend, you can live in that world of reality. Olam Hazeh is a world on its own. And then it has self-definitions, right, of Kina Taiv and Kovit that are defining success, right, of Ashiris, Bibur, and Chokhma, Kovit, that define success. Even in that world, you have to know that those, you can be in that world and be religious. You can even be in that world and learn Torah. It's more difficult, but Torah has very strong koyach to pull a person out of that, but it's possible to learn Torah. Especially if you use Torah as a kardim lakbo boy. If you use it as a, you know, one person's a lawyer, he learns law, one person's a Torah scholar, and he learns Torah. He learns Torah as another chokhmah. You can turn into another, you know. You know, this person is a lawyer, that one's a rabbi. Yeah. I mean, he's a psychologist, he's a rabbi, the two types of Eitz HaGevurs. You know. Then you can live very, very nicely in regular Olam Hazeh. Not any less nicely than the lawyer. Nothing. Same. It can be even worse because it's got a rabbinical cap on it. It can be worse. Ober. And we have to all know that we constantly fluctuate between these two realities. The Mishnah is teaching us the lightest mitzvah, the easiest one, the one that you take for granted, the one that's simple, it's no problem, you don't have any difficulty with it. But you want to be in Olam Hazeh, the real Olam Hazeh, the Olam Havo Olam Hazeh. You want to be in the Ashrecha Olam Hazeh to do mitzvah. The difference between the two, practically an approach, the way that you flip from one to the other, the way that you can bring yourself out from one to the other, is heavy rots the mitzvahs. That's the key. The key to the door, how you can, at least at the time of mitzvahs. The importance, greatest importance. A person who lives in Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, constantly is a very high level person. It's a very high level person. It can be Yechidim Bidor. That's a Madrega that's core of Ma'oid to Shavisa Shana Negri Somit. Shavisa Shana Negri Somit. Shavisa Shana Negri Somit of the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch is a person who Mamish sees, has the awe of the Rabban Yishlam in front of him constantly. Just like you'd be standing in front of Caesar or something. You know. Yeah, a couple of these Jews, right? Another two or three, and that one over there, and you hear that. That's a very, very high madrega. Yoram Brochus teaches us that Shavisa Shemanegi Tomi has a different definition also. I mean, the same thing, but on a much lower level, which is attainable for everybody. Shavisa Shemanegi Tomid, Bishas Shmanesi, the more it says. When a person is in contact, oimid lefnei ha-melech, not the whole day, but when you're oimid lefnei ha-melech, the tefillah, that's a responsibility for everything. That's the definition of tefillah, the famous Shem B'chaim, Priska. The definition of ma'isa tefillah, besides the word of tefillah, is you have to be talking to somebody. Did you ever have a conversation where somebody's talking to you and you see that he's clung up with your conversation and he's throwing in words and you see that his head is somewhere else? Or somebody carrying off two conversations at the same time. And every third line isn't linyan bidiyuk because it's really part of the other conversation. Or sometimes we daven like that. Baruch Hu doesn't like it much. One line for him, one line for the... That's not. Shavisa Shalom Negri Summit B'Shas Tefillah. A person has to know, at least when he's the first bracha, that's right, that he's talking to somebody. It deserves your attention. He happens to be the creator. He has to be the person that has in his pocket everything that you need. He has to be the one that's the tachlis while you're living. Everything, right? 2 minutes of attention he deserves. 2 minutes of your attention, right? First bracha of Shemana has 30 seconds. Right? Something, yeah. That's tefillah.
No, no. Shachris, it's only 15 seconds.
Same thing. The same thing. The concept of living in Olam Hazeh as a person haba takes place in two forms. Just like your Shemayim takes place in two forms. Number one is a general knowledge, general attitude, general state of mind. A person who is a Yer Shemayim, every religious Jew who be'etim is mekabel of olmach Shemayim be'etim, be'emes. And he means to do it in Shemayim. He wants to be shamed in mitzvahs. He has problems. But he be'etim is kabbalah. That's a kabbalah of olmach Shemayim in general. That's a general Yer Shemayim. But being Shavis Hashem, you tell me how they vie in the first bracha of Shemana. The same thing, living in the mitzvahs, living in the Olam Hazeh as only a praise of Olam Haba. That's tachlis. You have in two forms. Number one, a general form, an overall, what do they call it?
Overview.
No, life policy. You know, what?
Holistic.
You know, this basic sheet of life. A person lives in a life and a basic attitude. You know, his basic attitude, basic philosophies. Right? Person believes that he's in this world to do its ancient life. Right? That's number one. But practically, actually, to activize and to live this, on the first level, there are higher levels, but on the first level, that is when you come to do a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah in front of you. That's an opportunity to flip from one Olam Hazeh to the other Olam Hazeh. And the way you do it is rots. And the rots, the mitzvah come. Because as we explain what rots means, while, even as you saw, the moment that you're not going to pay attention, you flip back to the other world. But if you pay attention, you rots, you flip into the right world. Okay? A person can achieve this type of relationship to mitzvahs while he's doing mitzvah.
Isn't there still a steer? How can we flip like
this? How can you?
Part of the time he's totally in this world, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably part of the rub.
How do you flip? No, you can't flip.
If you rub some of the bad some over there, you can't change your rub some of the
Yes, you can. That's why we try to do this little activity. The way you can do it is by paying attention. You can intervene in the natural process of what goes on in your heart. And you say, 1 minute. Since you're not the boss, I'm the boss. I am going to tell you what we're going to do now. We are going to put on tefillin, and you, Mr. Hart, are coming with me. And we are going to put on tefillin. And do you know what tefillin is? And the Eros. It's a different feel. Feels different, works different, takes longer, takes a little longer. Right? They go on a little slower and they come off a lot slower. The person who takes off his tefillin and has a little bit feeling of Agnes Nefesh, that why does he have to take them off? Why can't he be like in the old days of wearing tefillin all day long? Right? He's a Rus. Yeah, it could be. You're supposed to take them off. I'm not telling you not to take them off. Yeah, you should take them. But it's like taking a half-eaten ice cream cone away from a child. Right? But he has to take away the other half. We aren't allowed in our state of affairs. We're not up to that level that we can wear tefillin all day. Right? But when you have to hand back that half-eaten ice cream cone, you got a leak. They gave you, you got two bites, and then now you have to put it back in the freezer. And you're playing this coming down. It's different. It's all different. If you do that, the stomach has a certain amount of tefillin that you take with you the rest of the day without wearing it. And it's different. That's heavy rots in this car. That's heavy rots in this car. So we have that part of the mission. We can go on to the next plan. We finished last week. Yeah? We can start this week.
That's the end, that's the last level.
Last level? We were trying to get to the first level. You hear it? It's okay?
I'm good.
I mean, that can turn into a religious act itself, no? Okay, I'm gonna get myself into it.
That is the religious act.
No, I mean the religious.
That's the difference between religious. Hey, you can turn that into a. You can make the mitzvah harder. It's like people the same way they say. What do you say? I don't know. And the reason why they say those things is that those things were created, were set up by those who set them up. As part of this Rotz Mitzvah Kala process, you can turn that also into. So now I have more religious. The text of the tekis is a little longer now. It starts with another blah before that. Besides the bracha, before you say the bracha, you do the mitzvah. Before the mitzvah, you say a bracha. Before you say the bracha, we get another one. Right? You say Yishem Yichud. So Yishem Yichud, bracha, then the mitzvah. You do that way. Okay. So you've three times increased your uninvolvement. But it can be different. That's the reason why those things were given. Because if you even have to say it, but maybe you're doing it anyway, you know, you may by chance think about it for a moment. And it'll have an effect. Any little mashal of these things are valuable. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. Mashal, whatever. It's much. It's a whole different world. Maybe what's the mitzvah
account? You want to see if you are thinking about the heck, if your heart is there.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a kaif who doesn't value mitzvah. So that person, I'm an order children, but we're not talking about that. That higher levels, but even at our level, we do have a certain value for mitzvah, and we do know that it's something that we want. But and we don't live. If we check out, we stand on the side and watch the way we get on feeling. Does that fit our value to fill it? No. So what happened? The answer is, isn't it we just explained? We're not there. You're not there. But you can get yourself there. Once you get yourself there, it's no problem. It's not the way it works. Why shouldn't it? Of course it is.
The kala part is a filu kala. That's why it's kala. Even the thing that you think is the attitude over here.
Does the process always start from the mental side first?
Oh, there's another thing also, and there's an emphasis on the kala. That has to do with the rest of the Mishnah. The Poshut Pshat of the Mishnah is even the kala. There's another Pshat in the Mishnah where is especially the kalas for two reasons. Number one is that when a heavy mitzvah comes your way, let's say kiddushin, right? Okay. Person makes a chuppah. Something you do once in a lifetime, hopefully. Okay. A person pigeon petech hamon, like something. You have 50,000 people get together to watch this thing. Your stomach will be involved, laughed after. You may be involved in the 50,000 people watching you. Person is involved with pigeon shvui, real pigeon shvui, right? Solus nefoshes. Probably you say that he will even naturally simply be involved. Maybe not, but it's easier in mitzvah chavuris. Mitzvah kala, especially the ones that the rogel b'ayim, right? It's mitzvah shodom dosh ba'akevov. He runs right past that, runs right over there. That the Mishnah is telling us, especially. That's one reason. The other reason we'll get to later in the Mishnah is because it's this. Yeah. What? Kala is easily available, easily to do. It takes it easy. It comes easy. It's only the. It's because. Everything's dependent very much on the starting point. And mitzvah kalas are the starting point. Mitzvah kalos are the starting point. So if you want to get this right, you have to start off that way. Right. Well, later in the Mishnah, we'll come back to this idea. So the three parts. Okay, fine. Let's try to start the subject of Bereach and Aveir. Bereach and Aveir. What's the difference between being Bereach and Aveir and not doing it? There are two major differences that are involved. Both of them are inclusive in the concept of Bereach and Aveir. Number one is that it's the corresponding opposite attitude that Rosh Lemitzvah is Bereach and Aveir. If a person tells you that there's a possibility, 100,000, that there's a bomb going to be thrown by some fellow in Iraq, and it's going to land somewhere, maybe in Tel Aviv, but could be near Shai. You know. You're going to be affected by it? For sure. Some more, some less, different levels, right? But a person would tell you that that bomb has landed across the street. And that's just a question, does it have a chemical war? It doesn't have a chemical war. Oh no, the chemical, that bomb, not even from Iraq, an Israeli bomb, right? And it didn't go off, it's just across the street. And the army have pulled this truck up and it has one of these bombs on it. You're gonna sleep nicely in that house next to it? It's not aimed at you, and it's not supposed to go off, and it's not supposed to leak, and it's going to demonstrate. You can't have bombs like that running around streets next time. Get this thing out of here. Nobody can sleep like that. But it wouldn't be in a bomb, it'd be in an open cup, but not in your house, in the neighbor's house. You're going to stay in your house? And if it's going to be the next room, then it's going to be in the same room. What's the point? Portion that everybody is bereach for something that he feels is life threatening without chishbonos. Don't logically estimate the probabilities and the possibilities of this. If I feel life threatening, it's one of the natural tendencies of Bnei Adam given to the human being for self survival that you run from danger. Something that you fight life-threatening. Something that you find that is a head-on collision to everything that you exist for. You don't want to have anything to do with it. Not here, and not there, and not next to it, not nothing. Bereach, first of all, the opposite of Rotz Lemitzvah is a Bereach Nehaveir. That's one aspect. The second aspect is that the idea of siyuk that we spoke about a little bit once, that's sufficient. Things that are of high magnitude are dealt with more carefully. Things that have less ramifications, less power to them, are dealt with less careful, less rules, less protections, less. A bereach min aveir, instead of not doing an aveir, besides the attitude, is also going to be a difference in the long run of how many aveirs you're going to do. Because if a person is not bereach min aveir, he just doesn't do aveirs, well then there might be times when he will do aveirs. He didn't mean to, he wasn't really intending to originally, it's just that it sneaked up on him and he wasn't looking. He fell into the pit and he wasn't looking. If you're not bereach min aveir, besides the attitude, it has another practical nafkamina that you're going to end up doing aveirs. Because aveirs have sticky hands. Money of theirs is particularly problematic. Other people's money has glue on it. It's stuck in your hand, you can't get it off. No problems with it, it's sticky. Aveiros run. Right? They run after you. They run after you. In order to get away from it, both the proper attitude and the proper protection that you shouldn't fall in by perchance, by accident, by not intending to, requires this type of process called Boyeach Min HaRe'eh. Because of the time factor, we're going to leave this for next week. I would just like to open up a further issue very quickly, open and close job. But before we go into more detail of Boyeach Min HaRe'eh, there's something that I was expecting somebody to ask. There's a question here that seems a little unfair. Why is it that mitzvahs in the moshav of the Mishnah run away from you and the veiras run after you? That's not fair. The chat of the Mishnah, how you learn it, is that without effort, just in the natural take it happy-go-lucky down the street without thinking way, the chances of you doing a mitzvah properly are very slim. The chance of you hitting a veira properly is very great. So it's not fair. That's one answer. L'chayra, the concept of chira, that says that's the free choice between two equal possibilities, it says it has to be fair. Why is it not that way? So there are several different levels of the answer to this question. I want to throw out just the first one. Just a quick open and close discussion of the issue. The first one is because really the opposite is true. The two realities that we were talking about before exist in what the human being is also. True, a person has a guf and a yitzhar and a yomazeh and everything, but he has a neshama. And if we know what a neshama is, if we understand what a chedek el kavim alam is, I mean, like, the yitzhar doesn't stand a chance. How do you vote here? First, it's a chelik of kami ma'al, b'ni b'chol Yisrael. And everything it says about Kla Yisrael. I mean, dovek in a kosh boho, what is it? Davis, what is it? I know this. Mitzvahs, remach evorim, remach mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are the natural, exact, fitting mitzvah. That's me. That's the person himself. If that's him, that's, you know, a person finding something, oh, that's for me, that's kind of, that's what mitzvah is for the neshama. That's perfectly built exactly to fit each mitzvah, each part of the neshama. Ramach against ramach. So mitzvahs are extremely natural for the neshama. And the veiras, that goes totally against the line. It's a highly unnatural act. Something very, very strange. There's going to be a day when we wake up. Just like today, when we look at people and we think they're a little funny. We have no way of understanding that. Bowing down to a cow. I mean, bowing down to a statue that I made yesterday. We have no way of understanding how you do such a stupid thing. Why? When we're going to exit the Bechira stage and we're going to wake up out of the situation that we're in today, we're going to look back at the days of Bechira. Days? People, I did it. It's so stupid, so ugly, so low, so unnatural, so not fitting. So against the very essence of the reality of the Rabbanim Shem, of the world and of myself, how in the world did I do something that was totally destructive, not fulfilling, not nothing? How did I do? So the simple answer that we're going to stop with tonight is that in order to balance and to make clear, the world is not ever going to be equal. You're always given choice between two unequals. If you live in the Olam Hazeh of Praise the Olam Abba, then it's just a natural and they are so distant and everything that we just said, right? And then it's weighted this way. And in the Olam Hazeh that has nothing to do with Olam Abba, well, then the avers are quite natural, and mitzvahs really are very difficult to do. They're a problem. Right? And it's weighted the other way. Here is to choose where you want to live. After that, it all comes natural.
Ain't much for here in that way.
What?
Ain't much for here in that way.
This is something that we'll discuss and continue. This is something Benny Ennis spells out in crying form in such a sharp way in the continuation of the Mishnah that I wanted to show it. Already here, the Nefesh HaChaim, the Ruach HaChaim explains a little bit over in this part of the place that I want to hear clear the two worlds and the balance between them and the fact that that's where we are. Right? We're at the pivotal point between these two worlds, and we have to choose between, you know,